You're listening to Commute, the podcast. Congratulations, you'll be smarter when you get there.
What up? Welcome into Commute, the podcast. I'm Dave.
And I'm Jay.
And we are about to take you on a deep dive on three topics that we find interesting, and we're betting that you might just find them interesting too. We can promise you this, you'll be smarter when you get there. On this edition of Commute, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory is a whimsical story all about candy factories and chocolate rivers. A recent event, though, promoted as a real-life version, well, wasn't.
You would think there would be some rules we could all agree on for the pronunciation of certain words. Then you look at a map of the United States, and one state sort of stands out like a sore thumb. We'll discuss the weird pronunciation of the word Arkansas.
You've heard it and probably said it as a way to explain strange behavior. Man, there must be a full moon tonight. But is there any truth to the supposed mischievous power of the full moon? All of that on this edition of Commute. Let's go. Jay, can you think of a time when expectation did not equal reality? Like, you went into something hoping it would be incredible, or at least promised it would be one way, and then you left thinking, man, that just was not great. Like, for me, I think it's got to be when I was a freshman in college, I believe is what year it was. I decided, I was asked, and I decided I would take the role on of being the game master at Vacation Bible School. So I'm super pumped. Like, I'm thinking, I'm fun. This is going to be so cool. Like, in my head, I pictured it going a certain way. Like, I don't know, maybe the kids would go home and tell their parents, hey, like, we met this incredible game guy. He had these games we've never played before. It was the most fun day of our life. Like, I just had really high expectations.
So it's about you. You know, it's not about the kids.
It was about me.
You.
Yeah, it was about me, not about the kids at all. It was about me being fun. Jay didn't go that way. About 15 to 20 minutes in, you know, I'm a dad now. I know how to handle kids. Back then, I had no clue. The kids basically rebelled and didn't do anything that I wanted them to do. Wouldn't listen. They wouldn't play any of the games that I had. They were just running around and screaming. I left. I actually told the person running it, like, I quit. I'm out. And I just left and went home.
Wow.
So that is not a great moment.
Yeah, that's the thing about like having children that no one ever tells you is like, you know, having kids is great, but like the image that sometimes you see of certain things and then the reality doesn't always match up. So like I'm thinking specifically of our Halloween experience this year, which like we're really excited for it. You know, we had kids that are 5 going on 6. Like, it was kind of that fun. Like, all right, now it starts to get fun. And we make them their own costumes, like put a bunch of work into it and everything. Well, and then Halloween night comes. My kids go to school. They eat candy literally all day at school. They get home. They're not feeling well. We put them in the car. One throws up all over himself. All right, we get to the neighborhood to trick or treat. And it's just chaos. They are tired. They're upset. There's vomit. There's tears. And we make it about halfway down the block before we have to turn around and go home.
Yeah, you made it about 7 houses, I believe, before you had to take it.
Hey, that's life, man.
But recently, Jay, a lot of families traveled to what they thought was going to be a good time. And it was advertised to be something really cool. An event that channeled the magic of the popular Roald Dahl story, Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. The story, made popular by the film starring Gene Wilder, is where kids find golden tickets where they are then invited to meet the incredibly strange and eccentric Willy Wonka at his magical chocolate factory. And Jay, child abuse aside, like turning a kid into a blueberry, it's a famous film, a famous story, and actually has remakes featuring Johnny Depp and more recently, Timothy Chalamet. But Jay, what the families found was something that looked like, I don't know, you and I put it together in our basement. Not at all what they thought they were going to receive. And I mean, the chocolate factory from the story, Jay, like sounds kind of awesome, right? I mean, who wouldn't want to visit a real life version of that? And that's exactly what families in Scotland thought when they traveled to Glasgow to a Willy Wonka themed event named Willy's Chocolate Experience. But Jay, instead of a magical experience full of songs and colorful displays, the families received, as the New York Times puts it, a couple of jelly beans, and a short walk around a nearly empty warehouse, followed by a visit from police officers. When ticket holders arrived, they saw nothing of the flashy advertising, promising Oompa Loompa performances, interactive displays, and, well, lots of candy. There were maybe 20 chairs, a couple of tables, and a half-inflated bouncy castle, father of three, Stuart Sinclair, told the New York Times. Sinclair, by the way, drove over 2 hours with his three kids for the event. At $45 per ticket, the event was put on by a company named House of Illuminati. And Jay, by the time the police showed up at the event to shut it down, just a few hours after it had opened, by the way, the lies had already started to unravel. Upon further examination, the event promotional images were found to be fake AI-generated creations. The actors, many of who were promised hundreds of dollars in compensation, admitted that they quickly felt, well, not good about it either, and as of this recording, still haven't been paid. Their scripts, full of misspellings and funky sentence structure, hadn't been given to them until the night before the event. And the costumes also arrived just in time for the event the night before. Jenny Fogarty was hired to portray what was called a Wonka Doodle, the event's version of an Oompa Loompa. And she knew pretty quickly the event was not what it had appeared to be. She told the New York Post the costume she received was cheap and what she deemed as inappropriate. Oh, and it came in an Amazon box with no instructions. I noticed that the costumes we were given, all of them were female, even for the guys, and we were given the sexy version as opposed to the traditional ones, Fogarty said. Some people had t-shirts underneath to give it a bit more modesty, but all I had was a lacy shirt. According to reporting from the New York Times, the London-based House of Illuminati had just been incorporated as a business 3 months before the event. And in a now-deleted social media post, the company promised refunds for the embarrassing mistake, a promise, surprise, surprise, that has yet to occur. And Jay, despite the day's scam, to their credit, the hired actors did their best to make the experience fun for the attendees. But just Google the pictures and see it for yourself. There's only so much you can do with a little teeny bouncy house and a fake rainbow statue. And there's a really, really funny picture of an Oompa Loompa character who looks like she's sitting in a lab from Breaking Bad. Sinclair, the father who took his three kids, tried to make the best of it as well, taking his kids to a local Build-A-Bear so at least they could do something fun. The worst part of the whole scam, though, Jay, he told the New York Times it was that when he got there, he realized pretty soon there wasn't even any chocolate.
Now, the photos, if you're interested in this story, you have to go look up the photos because they are severely anxiety-inducing because of like how bad, just horrible it looks.
And there's actually some of the actors have released their scripts online, so you can see that they were probably just generated by ChatGPT. Here's a quick little sample. So here's Willie McDuff. So Willie McDuff is who was supposed to be Willy Wonka in this fake version. Yeah. Willie McDuff beckoning the guests inside. Now, who among you dares to taste the fruits of our imagination? Step right up and prepare for a flavor adventure unlike any other. Then it says, the guests eagerly approach a table laden with the described sweets, each picking their choice with a mix of excitement and trepidation. So it's basically a fake movie script is what they were getting.
Well, I read too that they had like this, there was supposed to be like an overarching theme of like a villain that they created that was supposed to be like hiding in the walls, and then the villain would like come out at the end like from behind a mirror, but it just freaked everybody out because they were like, I'm not following the story, like who is this person, like this makes no sense. So Dave, when it comes to pronunciation, we sort of have to go on like a trial by fire in some respects, right? Like as we're growing up, we're pronouncing things and people will correct us until we finally figure it out. But every once in a while, I think a lot of people share an experience where they mispronounce something for a little bit too long and no one ever corrects them until maybe they're a little bit too old. And then they're sort of haunted by that, that they mispronounce this, maybe get exposed at a party or something in front of everybody or whatever. Do you have an experience like that where you've just been followed by a cloud of mispronunciation?
Well, I have something that's actually somewhat recent that I'm working on because I've started to realize the error of my ways. that you and other people, like you just, you've constantly been on me about this for years. You probably already know what this is. The word is dome. So if you're playing inside, like you're playing in an arena that has a, like a ceiling, dome. So I have for a very long time pronounced that dome. Like we play in the dome when it's actually dome. Now, I have a lot of reasons I'm not going to get into right now of why I still kind of disagree. But dome and dome, that's got
to
be what
it is. To me, it feels like you're doing it now just purely out of spite. Like it's like you're not going to tell me what to do kind of attitude. Like you don't really want to accept any constructive criticism.
You'll never know.
Well, Dave, we live in West Virginia, and I'm always reminded of a really good example of this very thing, which is that like sometimes places have pronunciations that are regional, but if somebody from the outside comes in and sees the word, they would pronounce it the right way, and it sort of exposes them as an outsider. So in West Virginia, there is a town not too far from us that is literally spelled hurricane, right? I mean, it's spelled hurricane, like the exact same word that you would say if you were talking about a storm, but it is pronounced in this region hurricane, and no one really knows why. You just kind of roll with it. But like if you're a person coming from the outside, you would pronounce it normally and then get accosted for it. And it's like, but that's literally how you spell it. You guys are wrong, not me. And I became really interested in this because I was thinking about the state of Arkansas.
Let me just say really quick before you get going on Arkansas, I used to work with a guy from Illinois. That's another one. Illinois. should have, it has an S. But he was like, that's the hill that he dies on, is that he calls it hurricane instead of hurricane. Like he refuses to change. So anyway, continue.
Well, when you look at Arkansas, I mean, it is not, it should not be pronounced that way, right? Because we literally have a state called Kansas, and then we have Arkansas, but Arkansas is spelled Kansas with an AR in front of it. So it should be Arkansas. I mean, by like all pronunciation rules, we have Arkansas and then we have Kansas. So it's like they're contradicting each other. And I became interested in why this is. Like, is this just a regional thing or is there a unique history to it? And it turns out there is a unique history to it. So, Dave, the journey begins in the 17th and 18th centuries when French explorers and Native American tribes coexisted in what is now Arkansas. The Quapaws, known as the downstream people, were called the Arkansas by Algonquin-speaking Indians from the Ohio Valley. Now, we fast forward to the 1800s, and this region became a melting pot of spellings and pronunciations. French explorers pronounced it Arkansia and Arkansa on a map. The confusion continued with American explorer Zebulon Pike of Pike's Peak fame in 1811, who spelled it Arkansas. So then, why the inconsistency? Well, Dave, the answer lies in the diverse linguistic influences that shaped this region. With French, Quapaw, Algonquin, and ultimately English contributions, it's no wonder that spelling and pronunciation varied widely. So in 1836, when Arkansas achieved statehood, the spelling was officially settled as it is now. However, the pronunciation remained a point of contention. The story goes that of the two U.S. senators from Arkansas, one senator said Arkansas, while another said Arkansas. So enter the Arkansas General Assembly in 1881. Facing this pronunciation dispute, they decided to end the confusion and legislate a solution. They passed a resolution that not only affirmed the spelling as it is now, but also declared the pronunciation as Arkansas, which is seemingly sort of a contradiction. To get specific, according to the Arkansas Code, the only true pronunciation is derived from the French interpretation of the Native American name. It should be pronounced in three syllables with the final S silent, the A in each syllable with the Italian sound, and the accent on the first and last syllables. And just so we're clear, Dave, this is legislated. Title 1, Chapter 4 of the Arkansas State Code establishes this as the official pronunciation. The law aimed to preserve the memory of the original residents and to honor the French explorers. So what about the residents themselves? While Arkansan is widely accepted across the country, historically, people from the state proudly call themselves Arkansasers. It's a term that reflects the unique linguistic heritage of the state. Even now, you'll hear this term used in Arkansas, you know, as if it wasn't confusing enough already. So why does it matter? I mean, beyond linguistic curiosity, it's this really unique tale of cultural preservation. Arkansas's name is, I guess, a symbol of its history in a way, and sort of a testament to the various cultures that have left their mark on this region. The blend here of Native American and French and American influence with this legislative twist is a pretty complex journey, one that's sure to frustrate anyone who isn't from here because it kind of makes no sense.
The flip side of all this is when somebody like mispronounces or misspells something that has to intimately do with you. Like, for example, one time we were in a fantasy football league, you won, so you were supposed to get paid.
I know that's hard for you to say.
It is, except it's funny because the guy that was paying you sent you a check and he misspelled your name, and he spelled Sesson instead of Sisson, and you didn't correct him is the best part.
So the story gets
it.
Even funnier. He sent it to me, and I just assumed, like, okay, we've been friends for a while. He just made a mistake. He just made a typo, okay? So then I needed to get money from him the next year, and he sent me another check with the same misspelling. And so at that point, I realized, like, no, he just doesn't know.
He doesn't know my name. And Jay, finally this week, you know, we kind of talk about this a lot, but that's just because it's our life and we want to. It's just what's going on every day with us. We have small children. We are parents. And so we are right in the clutches of what I call the beautiful hurricane. In my opinion, being a parent is the greatest thing in the world, but it's also really, really, really hard, right? And, you know, it's funny because I'm at the stage where I'm seeing things in my kids, especially my oldest, that are directly from me, but not in a good way. Like, it's hard to not want your kids to love the things that you love, right? But the flip side is that they can easily do the things that you do that you don't like. Like, for example, my oldest son is now at what I call the negotiator stage of being a four-year-old. This is something that I perfected as a child. So, like, our typical nightly conversations go, Daddy, can I please have just one more Cheeto? Like, I promise I'll be good. I'll never ask for another one. Just this one time. Can I have one more Cheeto? Just this once because I was so good today. Please. Like, that's straight out of the Dave Trump playbook. Like, that's exactly what I did. And it infuriates me when he doesn't. Jay, you seeing this kind of thing in your kids?
Yeah, well, you call it a beautiful hurricane. I'm going to call it a beautiful hurricane. And we'll just have to agree to disagree. but yeah, I'm a corrector, which means that, like, when someone says something that's, like, not true, even if they're, like, not really ready to hear it, I'm still like, well, that's not really true, you know? And so what I mean by that is, like, when a kid is young, sometimes there are certain things that, you know, you try to bring it down, you try to, like, explain it on more on their level. Well, I'm noticing that my kids are kind of doing what I always do, which is just, like, you just want the truth out there. You know what I mean? Like, you can't sugarcoat it. And so the problem is that my older kids are doing this to my younger kid, and I'm realizing, like, okay, he's two, they're six. Like, there are certain things that he's not going to understand. So it's like, I see them just be like, for example, like, we drive past a church. Well, the church is, like, old and Gothic looking, so he calls it a castle. Well, then instead of letting it go, it's like the older kids will be like, no, it's not a castle. Well, then this two-year-old's crying, and he's like, no, it is. It looks like a castle. And they're like, no, it's not. And I'm just like, man, like, I did this to them growing up. Like, that's why they're doing it. It's like they would say things. I'd be like, no, that's not true. Instead of just being like, yeah, it's a castle. You know, like, why can't I just let it go? Yeah. It would have saved myself so much heartache.
Well, Jay, one thing I found myself saying about my own kids lately is something all of our teachers said about my friends and I growing up. What's wrong with them? Must be a full moon or something. But while we've all heard it and probably said it, is it true? Does a full moon really make people act, well, strange? Well, along with impending rain making your joints hurt, a full moon is a pretty popular scapegoat. In its case, for bad luck and strange behavior. It's often reported that crime rates go up during a full moon, emergency rooms are busier, and for you mythical believers, there are the reported appearances of werewolves. And Jay, the belief that the moon is responsible for bad behavior and strange acts is so widely held, it's been reported by the Journal of Emergency Medicine that close to 80% of nurses polled and 64% of doctors polled believe it to be true. And so, Jay, a few years back, a team of researchers at a school of psychology in Canada decided to try and find out if it was, in fact, true by focusing their research on mental illness and the phases of the moon, hoping to find out if the two were somehow linked. To test their theory, the researchers evaluated patients who visited two hospitals in Montreal over a three-year span. The patients selected were ones who complained of chest pains, yet had been seen by a doctor who, in turn, concluded that they could find nothing medically wrong with them. And many of these patients, Jay, they suffered from panic attacks, anxiety, mood disorders, or had a history of suicidal thoughts. The researchers compared the time of the visits to the four lunar phases of the moon. And what did they find? Nothing. In fact, the lone exception was that patients were actually less anxious during the latter stages of a full moon. This may be coincidental or due to factors we did not take into account, Dr. Genevieve Belleville, who directed the team of researchers, said according to Mental Floss. But one thing is certain, we observed no full moon or new moon effect or psychological problems. So Jay, there you have it. It may seem like things are crazier during full moons, but the truth, according to this and numerous other studies done on the subject that you can find, say that they're probably just kind of crazy all the time. It doesn't really have anything to do with a full moon.
Well, I say this all the time. I'm always like, well, it's a full moon. You know, that's why they're acting crazy. And now this is what you get doing this show, is now I'm going to think about you telling me that it's all just hogwash next time I say it. So, and this happens when we do this show. Like, for example, I still, even though you told me not to, if it's really cold and I have a frosty windshield, I go out, turn the car on, let the windshield defrost. But I think every time about how disappointed you would be in me for doing that.
Well, this is a confessional, too, on this show. I actually start my car every morning as well. And when I do, no lie, I go, you're disgusting.
I know. We did it to ourselves.
You're disgusting. How do you live with yourself? Like, that's what I say to myself. And that's it. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to rate, subscribe, and review Commute on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or your favorite podcast network. We're on social. Check us out on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And you can always say what up at our website, commutethepodcast.com. Music for Commute is provided by my main man, Jason Sammons. For Jasis, and I'm Dave Traub. We'll see you next week.
Yeah, like this just happened the other day. One of my kids asked me what the biggest number was, you know, and I could have just made it so much easier. I could have said, it's a million billion or something like that. Just moved on with my life, you know, never had to address it again. I would never had to think about it again. But instead, like, it's like my eye started twitching and I was like, there's no such thing as the biggest number. They go on forever.
See, I make fun of you for that. But I one time, a long time ago, this guy, he worked with a friend of mine and He called me Adam for some reason. Like, he thought my name was Adam. And I just didn't correct him because I thought it was funny. He went on calling me Adam for years. Like, he invited me to his wedding and sent it to me as Adam. So, I mean...